Your thumb is hovering over the screen. You have read the message 3 times, and now you know exactly what you want to send back, not because it will help, but because you want the other person to feel as dismissed as you feel. Before you press send, take 3 breaths. Not to pretend that the message was kind. Not to talk yourself out of a boundary. Just long enough to remember that your pain is real, and your next sentence is still yours to choose.
Welcome to Why I Love, the podcast where we explore one simple but powerful truth. Before we can truly love others, we must first learn to love who we are. In a world filled with noise, distraction, and division, this is a space to slow down, reconnect, and rediscover the deeper purpose of our lives. Inspired by the timeless words of Jesus Christ, "Love your neighbor as yourself," we explore stories and practices that remind us why love begins within. Because when we understand why love, we begin to understand why we are here. Today, we are staying in that tense little space between feeling wounded and deciding what to do next. We are calling it the 3-breath bridge, a practical pause that can carry us from reaction toward honesty, dignity, and purposeful connection.
Here's the question I want to keep with us. Can a few intentional seconds change the direction of a difficult conversation? Maybe you are thinking, 3 breaths? Really? What difference could that possibly make when I am furious? That is a fair question. 3 breaths will not fix a dishonest relationship. They will not make an unsafe person safe. They will not guarantee that someone finally understands you. But they may give you back one thing that anger tries to take away. Choice. A difficult moment often begins with something tiny. A delayed reply. A sharp look across the kitchen. A colleague's short email. A friend changing plans. A comment online that lands nothing like it was intended. The event is small, but the story inside us can become enormous. They do not respect me. They always do this. I have to defend myself now. If I stay quiet, I will disappear. Have you noticed how quickly the mind can build a courtroom? There is an accusation, a history of evidence, and a closing argument before the other person has even had a chance to explain. The bridge does not ask us to dismiss the feeling. It asks us to slow down before the feeling becomes the driver.
I had a moment like this recently. Someone I cared about sent a message after I had asked for help with something important. The reply was simple. I can't deal with this right now. That was the whole message. I read it once, then I read it again, as if a hidden explanation might appear between the words. Instead, my mind supplied one. You are a burden. They do not care. You should never have asked. I could feel the familiar heat rising in my face. My thumb opened the reply box, and I started writing a message that sounded reasonable on the surface, but had one clear purpose underneath: to make the other person feel guilty. I typed, "No problem. I'll remember that next time you need something." Then I looked at it and knew exactly what it was. It was not honesty. It was hurt wearing a clever jacket. That realization did not make the hurt disappear. I was still disappointed. I still wanted an answer. But I put the phone down. I took one natural breath and noticed the tightness in my chest. I took another and said, "I feel rejected." On the third, I said, "I am hurt, but I do not have to become hurtful." That sentence gave me enough room to write something different. "I understand you may not have capacity right now. The message felt dismissive to me, so I would like to talk when we can both be present." It was not perfect. It was not a magic spell. But it told the truth without adding a punishment.
That is what makes these moments so complicated. Our first reaction is not always trying to ruin the relationship. Sometimes it is trying to protect us. The nervous system notices possible rejection, disrespect, or danger, and it moves quickly. The body tightens. The voice changes. The hand reaches for the phone. We are suddenly responding not only to 5 words on a screen, but to every earlier moment when we felt overlooked or inconvenient. Of course, the present still matters,
We should not use our history as an excuse to ignore what is happening now, but our history can explain why a small spark sometimes feels like a house fire. Self-compassion begins with telling the truth about that fire without throwing more fuel onto it. It sounds like this. Something in me feels threatened. I need to understand what is happening before I decide what this person meant. That is not weakness. It is emotional accuracy.
And this is where loving yourself becomes more than a pleasant phrase on a mug. Loving yourself does not mean approving of every choice you make. It means refusing to abandon yourself when you are embarrassed, angry, needy, confused, or afraid. We often give other people a generosity we deny ourselves. We tell a friend, "You had a difficult day. Try again tomorrow." Then we make one mistake and say, "What is wrong with you?" We tell someone else, "Your feelings make sense." Then jealousy or defensiveness appears in us, and we decide those feelings prove we are unworthy. Grace interrupts that inner cruelty. It does not say, "Everything I feel is correct and everything I do is justified." It says, "Something is happening inside me, and I can meet it honestly without turning against myself." That distinction matters, because the way we treat our own humanity often travels with us into the room. If I am at war with myself, correction can feel like humiliation. Another person's limit can feel like rejection. Disagreement can sound like an attack on my identity. But if I can say, "I am having a hard moment, and I am still worthy of care," then I have more room to hear what the other person is actually saying.
Jesus is teaching, "Love your neighbor as yourself," carries an invitation here. The compassion we offer outwardly is connected to the compassion we are willing to receive inwardly. If I despise my own weakness, I may have very little patience for yours. If I believe mistakes make me unlovable, I may punish you whenever you make one. If I cannot receive forgiveness, I may demand perfection from everyone around me. But this teaching is not permission to become self-absorbed. Love begins within, but it does not end there. We receive care so that we can become more capable of giving care. That is why the three-breath bridge is not a technique for avoiding difficult truth. It is a way to carry truth with care. You can be angry at your brother and still say, "I need 10 minutes before we continue." You can be disappointed by a friend and still ask for clearer communication. You can forgive someone and still decide that the relationship needs distance. Patience is not passivity. Peace is not pretending. Kindness is not the absence of boundaries. A pause does not erase responsibility. It helps us choose responsibility instead of retaliation.
So what does the bridge actually look like when emotion is moving fast? The first breath is for naming what is happening. Not diagnosing yourself, not building a case, just finding an honest sentence. I feel ignored. I feel embarrassed. I feel threatened. I feel angry. I feel afraid. You may notice the body before you find the word. Your jaw is tight. Your shoulders are raised. Your stomach has dropped. Your hand keeps returning to the phone. Those signals are information. They are not enemies, and they are not commands. The second breath is for receiving grace. Try, "This is difficult, and I am human." Or, "I can care about what happened without condemning myself." Or, "I do not have to solve this in the next 10 seconds. Grace gives you enough inner safety to face the truth. If you spoke harshly, you may still need to apologize. If you caused harm, you may need to repair it. Grace does not cancel accountability. It keeps accountability from becoming shame's excuse to destroy you. The third breath is for choosing one loving next step. Not the perfect step. Not the step that guarantees agreement. One step that protects dignity on both sides.
Let's hear the difference in real time. The impulsive reply might be, "Fine, I guess I know where I stand." The paused reply might be, "I am disappointed, and I do want to talk about this. When would be a better time?" The impulsive reply says, "You never listen." The bridged reply says, "I felt interrupted. I would like to finish my thought, and then I want to hear yours." The impulsive reply says, "Forget it. I do everything for everyone, and nobody cares." The bridged reply says, I was counting on your help. If you cannot do it, please tell me clearly so I can make another plan. Notice what has not disappeared. The disappointment is still there. The request is still there. The boundary is still there. What has changed is the extra wound we are no longer trying to deliver.
That sounds useful in theory. What does it sound like in a kitchen, a group chat, or a Monday meeting? At home, someone interrupts you while you are explaining something important. The first feeling may be anger. Name it. I feel dismissed. Receive grace. I want to be heard, and that does not make me demanding. Choose. Please let me finish this thought, and then I will listen to you. With a friend, plans change at the last minute. Name it. I feel disappointed. Receive grace. Disappointment does not make me needy or foolish. Choose. I understand that things happen. Next time, could you let me know earlier? At work, feedback feels blunt. Name it. I feel exposed. Receive grace. Being corrected does not mean I have no value. Choose. Can you show me the specific change you are asking for? In a group chat, someone misunderstands your comment. Name it. I feel defensive. Receive grace. I do not have to prove my goodness to every person in every thread. Choose to clarify once, move the conversation privately, or step away. Stepping away can be a loving choice. Silence used to punish is different from silence used to regain steadiness.
There is another important question. When is a pause not enough? If someone is threatening you, controlling you, repeatedly humiliating you, or causing serious harm, the answer is not to breathe your way into accepting it. Your safety matters. A loving next step may be leaving the room. It may be ending the call, asking a trusted person for help, documenting what happened, or creating firm distance. Compassion does not require you to remain available for mistreatment. The three-breath bridge supports a first response. It does not replace counseling, accountability, crisis support, medical care, or long-term relationship repair. It is a doorway, not the whole house. And if focusing on your breathing feels uncomfortable, do not force it. Keep your eyes open. Feel your feet on the floor. Count 3 moments before replying. Notice 3 objects around you. The practice is not about performing calmness. It is about creating enough space to choose with awareness. Sometimes love has a soft voice. Sometimes it has a strong voice. Both can protect dignity.
Now, let's return to that message. I can't deal with this right now. After the pause, several possibilities become visible. You might ask, are you saying you need time, or are you saying you do not want to discuss this? You might write, I will give you space. Please let me know when you are available. You might decide that this is not an isolated moment, but part of a pattern that deserves a larger conversation. Or you may realize that your first interpretation came from an old fear, and that this one message does not need to carry the weight of every previous wound. This is emotional resilience. It is not the absence of pain. It is the ability to feel pain without handing it the steering wheel. And this is neighbor love in ordinary clothing. It may look like deleting the message you almost sent. It may look like asking one more question. It may look like telling the truth without adding a punishment. It may look like giving someone room while honoring your own need for respect. Why I love? Because we are more together. But togetherness is not created by pretending we never hurt one another. It is created when hurt becomes an invitation to practice honesty, humility, repair, and care.
You can prepare for the next difficult moment while life is still quiet. Complete these 3 sentences sometime today. When I feel criticized, I usually tell myself. When I am hurting, I need to remember. One loving response I want to practice is, maybe your answers sound like this. I usually tell myself I am failing. I need to remember that one mistake does not define me. I want to ask for clarification before I defend myself. Or perhaps, I usually tell myself that nobody cares. I need to remember that a delayed answer is not always rejection.
I want to ask for a conversation instead of sending a cutting message. Write your answers down if that helps. Put them somewhere you will see them. A practice becomes available under pressure when we rehearse it during peace. You might use three short phrases as handrails. Name it. Grace is here. Choose with care. Name it. Grace is here. Choose with care. Simple words can become surprisingly strong when emotion makes the path difficult.
You can carry this practice into the rest of your day. The next time a message stings, do not answer at the speed of the sting. The next time a conversation heats up, notice your body before you raise your voice. The next time shame tells you that you are hopeless, meet it with the truth that you are still responsible, still worthy of care, and still capable of choosing differently. Peace often begins before the first word. It begins when you notice the feeling instead of becoming completely identified with it. It begins when you offer yourself grace instead of adding shame to pain. It begins when you choose a response that tells the truth while preserving dignity. The three-breath bridge is small. It will not resolve every conflict. It will not transform every difficult relationship, but it can change the person who enters the conversation. And when one person enters with greater steadiness, the direction of a moment can change. Self-compassion gives neighbor love somewhere to begin. You are allowed to pause. You are allowed to feel. You are allowed to protect yourself. You are allowed to speak clearly. And you are allowed to keep learning how to love without abandoning yourself.
Thank you for joining me today on Why I Love. If this conversation reminded you of the power of love starting with yourself, share this episode with someone who might need a steadier, kinder response in a difficult moment. And if you want more reflections on self-acceptance, emotional steadiness, and meaningful connection, subscribe to the podcast so we can continue this journey together. Before the day is over, try the three-breath bridge once. Name what is happening. Receive grace for being human. Choose one response that protects dignity on both sides. You may be surprised by how much can change in a few honest seconds. Love within, love without. Let's begin the journey. And remember, love who you are and watch the world change. Until next time, keep choosing love.